It's the first full moon of the year. Do not trip yourself up by letting pride get in your way. Stay tuned to find out more.
Welcome to the Mainly Moonology podcast. I'm your host, Yasmin Boland, an award-winning astrologer and the Sunday Times best-selling author of books including Moonology and creator of the Moonology Oracle Cards. My intention for this podcast is to help you understand how you can create your dream life using Mainly Moonology, the moon, as your guide.
This week brings the first full moon of 2024. So one thing I would like to start off by saying is this. Do you understand that working with the moon can change your life? Now, you can't change other people. That's the point I really want to drive home. You can only change yourself, okay, with manifesting. You shouldn't be doing spells or moon manifesting or moon rituals trying to manipulate anyone. So if you've been doing that, stop now because it's really bad karma. What you can do, though, is you can work on yourself. And working with the new moon, it's about creating. And working with the full moon, it's about letting go. Because we all have things we want to create in our life. And we all have things we want to release in our life. So being as this is the first full moon of the new year, it's a really good time to think about whether or not you are going to commit to working with every new and or full moon of the year. Now, for those of you who are new to moonology, at the new moon, we set our intentions. At the full moon, we release it all to the divine. And the setting intentions, making wishes, making new moon wishes, that's almost like the easy bit because it's nice, it's fun. Who doesn't like to spend a bit of time every month thinking about what they want? You know, what do you want to bring into your life? What are you dreaming of? What are your daydreams? What are your big dreams? And that's what we do at the new moon every month. We make a list of what we want to bring into our lives, what we want to attract, what we want to create, manifest. And we make action points about how we're going to do it and so on. And we work on that throughout the waxing cycle, which is the new moon to the full moon phase, which is all great, okay? But then the secret source, S-O-U-R-C-E, of moon manifesting success is actually what you do at the full moon. It's letting go, it's surrendering. And sometimes it's really hard to let go. Sometimes it's really difficult to surrender. But one thing I have found in my life is whenever I surrender, life becomes easier. Okay. And we don't surrender just for that. And the fact is you can't pretend to surrender. You can't really pay lip service to surrendering. You either surrender or you don't. But the full moon is the time to surrender to the divine. And just for a little bit of context here, you know, this part of my spiritual practice with the moon comes from my time at the Srinarayanapeetham in India, where I've been going for about 20 years. And there the key word really is surrender. But before I had that, I'd actually done a course in Switzerland many moons ago with a man called Sir Martin Brofman, who some of you might know. He wrote a book, I think, called The Mirror Chakra System, something like that. Sir Martin Brofman. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. But he actually gave us a key word at the end of that course that I did with him in Switzerland up a mountain. It was beautiful. And the key word was acceptance. And so in some ways, whether you're saying I surrender this to the divine or I accept this for what it is, the idea is that you accept what is. And if you surrender it to the divine, for me, that's one step further because you're then saying, okay, divine, you take this on, please. You fix this up for me. You know, if this is for my highest good, so be it. And it's tricky sometimes, you know. Just say there's a job you really, really want. You know, surrendering it to the divine isn't always easy. I actually can give you a little story about that really briefly. But, you know, I don't know how many years ago, 15 years ago, maybe longer, I was up for two jobs in Australia. I won't name names. And they were both very high profile publications. One was online and one was in print. And I kind of wanted the one in print because it was 15 years ago and print still was a little bit more prestigious than online. And now I think we could say they're probably about equal. But I really did. I knew I could only do one because they were sort of competitors and I wasn't going to be allowed to do both of them. And I really didn't know which one I should opt for. So I surrendered it to the divine. And I slightly, as I said, wanted the print one. And I ended up getting the online one. Now, the magazine has since chopped and changed its astrologer so many times, I can't even begin to tell you. Like, I probably would have lasted there 2 years at the most. The online one, I'm still doing it nearly 20 years later. So for me, that was a really good example of how if you surrender to the divine, you get yourself on the right track. And we surrender to the divine every full moon, or we accept, you know, sometimes it's about surrendering and sometimes it's about accepting. And just one more thing, this is not about putting your hands in the air and waving a white flag and saying, I surrender. It is actually almost about acceptance of whatever is for my highest good. And it's also a really, really powerful time to do a forgiveness practice if you would like to do that. If you need to do that, you need to forgive yourself, you need to forgive anyone else. And the thing is, why, by doing that, you start to release all the negativity and the kind of cause toxins in your, you know, body, in your psyche, in your energy field. And then when it comes to doing your manifesting 2 weeks after the full moon, when you've done all your release work, your forgiveness work, your acceptance, your surrender, 2 weeks later at the new moon, you are much healthier energetically, right? So I hope that helps you understand, because then you want to be healthy energetically, because then you do your manifesting. You know, you like attracts like with manifesting. It's not just you make a list of all what you want. It's also a list of do you believe you're worth it? And if you haven't forgiven yourself for stuff, then you're not going to believe you're worth it. Do you see how it all starts to come together? For those of you who don't have it, my Moonology book was the source for all the other stuff which has followed, including the Moonology Diary, which at the time I'm recording this in December, I'm 99.999% sure it's actually already sold out in the UK and Australia, apart from some of the small marketplace shops. There are still some in the States, and if you go on to Amazon, .co.uk to buy the diary, you are directed to buy it in Amazon USA, which is obviously a problem because it's going to cost a lot of money. Anyway, so it is what it is. It's either available or it's not available by the time you see this, but this will also help you to stay on track. And so what I'm saying is, it's the first full moon of the year. You know, now is the time to really make a commitment to yourself. You're going to work with all the new moons of 2024, and you're going to work with the full moons as well. So let's talk about this full moon this week. Are you ready to work with it? I hope I've slightly inspired you to work with it and reminded you that working with the full moon is the secret source of success when it comes to moon manifesting. Because as I said, it's about sending your intentions out at new moon, but it's the surrender which seems to be the magical key. So full moon in Leo this week, times really quickly. In LA, January 25, 9:54 a.m. In New York, January 25, 12:54 p.m. In London, January 25, 5:54 p.m. And in Sydney, January 26, which happens to be Australia Day, at 4:54 a.m. Key words and ideas for this lunation, I'm going to read them out from the diary. Humility, that's a big one. Humility, healing, big lessons, and exuberance. Okay, so let's just have a look at this full moon this week. The energy around this first full moon of the year is fun, and I'm sure I've said that because it's in the sign of Leo, which is a fun sign, but it could bring up issues around your ego. So that's never fun, is it? Full moon in Leo. Leo is the sign of ego. We all have Leo in our chart somewhere, just by the way. The full moon is taking place in the sign of Leo, an absolutely brilliant sign. However, Leo is the sign of the diva, the actress, the attention seeker. I should update this a bit because it's my Leo prototypes are slightly out of date now. They've more from when I was learning astrology 20 years ago. But the classic, I mean, most of you will know, it depends on how young you are, most of you will know Madonna, who's a Leo. She's like a classic Leo. She's like, hello, look at me. The Spice Girls, do you remember the Spice Girls? Jerry Halliwell, the biggest look at me Spice Girl, Leo. All right, it's the sign of the diva, the actress, and the attention seeker. Not in a bad way. Like I said, we all have Leo in our chart somewhere. Leo has a tendency to be flamboyant, doing whatever it takes to make sure everyone is noticing. Remember, Leo is represented by the sun around which all the other planets revolve. Leo is the sign of pride, and the full moon is always a very intense time. Put that together, and the full moon in Leo can be a time where people tend to go a little over the top, including in terms of rating themselves or, you know, basically showing off. So don't let that person be you, and it doesn't matter if you're not a Leo, this still applies. One of the key concepts of this particular full moon is humility. Although it's possible to be too self-effacing, if you remind yourself to be humble, any and every time you start to feel your ego getting bloated this week, you won't go too far astray, okay? So, you know, another thing you can do, you know, if you feel yourself, oh my God, I'm talking too much or I'm showing off or anything like that, try and think, I'm, you know, this is what I need, but let me balance my needs with the collective, with my friends, with my social groups, with my colleagues, with my social clubs, anything like that, because the full moon straddles the Leo-Aquarius axis. And Aquarius is about the greater good for humanity. So that's a good way to sort of diffuse any ego issues that come up by thinking, you know, what can I do that's going to serve the greater good rather than just serving me? So another reason for emphasizing the need for humility under this prideful Leo moon is that it's also clashing with Jupiter, the planet of exaggeration and amplification. In other words, the full moon is triggering Jupiter in a kind of a challenging way, which can mean then that Jupiter gets triggered and we all go over the top, and that's when things start to go a little bit out of kilter. Just be careful if you start to hear yourself being the big I am, talking too much. And if someone's doing that, just think, oh my God, it's the full moon, hot air, and try not to overreact. And that's why, you know, try and be humble, bring a bit of humility into the situation. But also be aware that, and this is a bit tricky because the full moon is always tricky. There could be some hurtful words exchanged thanks to a Mercury-Chiron clash that's taking place around the same time as the new moon, as the full moon as well. Now, this is difficult because Mercury is the planet of communications and Chiron is the planetoid of healing and hurting. So when you get, you know, you think we've got the full moon that's already intense, the full moon in Leo, which is, you know, the sign of the ego. So there are going to be intense egoic feelings happening. People are going to start acting out, saying the wrong thing and so on. And just, you know, it's going to be a lot. On top of that, we then have Mercury, the planet of the mind, the planet of speech, clashing with the wounded healer, Chiron. So there could be people saying some things which are a little bit tough to hear. You know, maybe they shouldn't really be saying them. So just try and go easy this week. And in particular, you know, if someone is being mean with you, try and think it's full moon week. I am going to try and step back and just breathe and just let them do their thing. If someone else has been putting you down, this full moon is time to decide you're not going to put up with that anymore. And the reason for saying that is that Chiron, when Chiron's triggered, it's often about how much are we willing to put up with, you know. So with a full moon, a Mercury Chiron clash under the full moon, it can be people just giving you a hard time, and you have to decide how much are you willing to put up with. Remember too that the full moon is always the time to forgive and forget. So as soon as you've been offended, see if you can let it go. And funnily enough, I always remember Deepak Chopra saying once, I don't think he said it to me personally, I have met him a few times, but I think he said this online somewhere. He said, let go of the need to be offended. And it just made so much sense to me because it does sometimes feel, doesn't it, that people have this need to be offended. So let go of the need to be offended. If someone's offending you, just go, you know what, live and let live. So remember, the full moon is the time to forgive and let go. If you've been acting out of pride or an inflated ego, forgive yourself and release that egocentricity into the ethers, your life will thank you. All right, so that is basically about the full moon. I have a little surprise for you in a minute, but I just want to do a little chart now. I'm going to do the Om Namo Narayani chart, which I do pretty much every full moon. I'll be doing it in my Facebook ceremony as well. I'll be doing some chanting in my Facebook ceremony. Many of you say you love my chanting. No one said they don't like it, but I guess they just tune out. But the chart that I do at full moon, Om Namo Narayani, comes from the ashram in India that I've been going to all these years, and it means I surrender to the divine, or I surrender to the divine mother. So let's do that together now. If you know it, chant along silently or out loud. If you don't, just let it wash over you and just think of your biggest, most pressing problem. And as I do this, just breathe, close your eyes, breathe. In through your nose, out through your mouth, preferably, and just listen to the chant. Oh, Om Namo Narayani. Oh, Divine Mother, we offer up all our issues, all our problems, and we accept whatever life is dealing with us as best we can, knowing that if we surrender it to you, it will work out for our highest good. So be it. So be it. So I just want to finish by making a little introduction. What you're about to hear now is a short and sweet guide to 2024 from a beautiful woman called Christina, who calls herself the Oxford Astrologer. Her name is Christina Rodenbach, and she has been writing her OxfordAstrologer.com blog since 2010. And she lives, obviously, in Oxford, England. If you go to her website, the OxfordAstrologer.com, you'll actually find something like 1,000 articles about all aspects of astrology, political, personal, trivial, serious, traditional, psychological. There's an index you can search on anything. And she actually writes really interesting blogs about world events on a fairly regular basis. She also does a podcast with the beautiful astrologer Sally Kirkman. And she writes in the Astrological Journal, and she has clients all over the world. I asked her, Christina, the Oxford astrologer, Christina, what do you think everybody needs to know about the astrology of 2024? And this is what she said.
I'm Christina Rodenbeck from the Oxford Astrologer and Astrology Talk podcast, which I do with my friend Sally Kirkman. I'm assuming, for example, that all of my colleagues will be telling you about Pluto going into Aquarius, which of course is the huge, huge thing in 2024. And that happens right at the beginning of the year in January. In fact, January itself is pretty interesting in a good way. Obviously, it's going to be really important for Aquarians and Capricorns. Capricorns because it's leaving, Aquarians because it's coming, and Pluto is the lord of transformation. Now, like I said, I'm expecting everybody else to talk a lot about that, so I'm just skipping straight ahead to give you an idea of a useful way to think about 2024 for yourself, which is that we are going from a very earthy year, 2023, and we're gradually moving into really quite a lot more air. And this is because 2023, Pluto was in Capricorn. Jupiter was in Taurus for most of the time. These are Earth signs. And all of the Mercury retrogrades were also in Earth signs. This is all switching around in 2024, right? So Pluto goes into the air sign of Aquarius. Jupiter will be going into Gemini at the end of May. And Jupiter is the expander. And the Mercury retrogrades, for the most part, will be in fire signs. They'll have a little bit of earth, but they'll be in fire signs. So we've got fiery Mercury retrogrades, and then we have this rush of air coming in. a lot of the other outer planets are staying, I wouldn't say static because they never are, but they're staying, you know, Saturn will remain in Pisces, Uranus will remain in Taurus, and Neptune will remain in Pisces. So we've still got a lot of water going on as well. Not so don't forget that there's this watery element that's ongoing, a sort of undercurrent of water, of emotion, and an undercurrent of that kind of, it's an ending energy when it's in Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac. But there are a couple of dates that I just want you, would advise you to sort of think about and really focus on. Well, three dates, actually, that's not a couple. So first of all, there's Pluto going into Aquarius in January. There's a Uranus-Jupiter conjunction in April. And then there's Jupiter going into Gemini in May, where it will trine Pluto. Just to disentangle that for you, what does that at all mean? Sounds really technical. It means that when Uranus and Jupiter make a conjunction in Taurus, these are the planet of surprise and upset and excitement, Uranus, making conjunction with this planet of expansion in Taurus, which is the sign, one of the signs of it's an earth sign, it's a sign of money, it's a sign of sensuality, it's a sign of actual practicality, of real things happening. So you can expect some fireworks in those departments in April, especially. And if you have anything in Taurus or anything opposite that, Taurus in Scorpio, you're going to feel this. So that first part of the year, Jupiter, the planet of expansion, which is really the planet, a planet you should really always watch, is still in Taurus, is still in that earthy sign. And it's still really a time for expansion for Taurians, for Scorpios, it's all about relationships, the fixed signs, you know, for Leo, it's all about career, and that you should be focusing on that expansion on the, where Taurus is in your chart. Okay. Then Jupiter moves into Gemini and the focus shifts to air signs. And as Jupiter moves into Gemini in June, it makes this amazing trine with Pluto. And that is transformative, right? And if you have anything in Gemini or any of the air signs in particular, I think this is going to be really affecting you. It's you may have a sudden expansion of ideas, of being able to see actually where things might start to go in the next 20 years. That's how long Pluto is going to be in Aquarius. So that moment in June, when Jupiter changes signs, makes that amazing contact, is really, really important. And obviously, Gemini is the sign, is one of the air signs, so it's a sign of ideas, it's a sign of communications. Pluto is in Aquarius, which is the sign of the internet. So we're going to see some kind of rapid expansion at that point with maybe AI, internet, all that stuff. But you know what? Anybody could predict that. You don't need to be an astrologer to know that this is the future is coming down the road really fast. And how this affects you personally will be different depending on what your chart is. But you can be guaranteed that people who are Aries, that's Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini, are going to be feeling this sudden expansion of possibility, because that is what Jupiter gives you possibility, gives you extremity, gives you exaggeration. And, you know, we all like to say, oh, Jupiter, the luckiest planet. It can also be too much. One of the things I would recommend with Jupiter is coming into your sign, Gemini, is to pace yourself. And the same with Taurus, you know, for that first half of the year, you've got a lot more Jupiter in Taurus. Take all the opportunities you can. You're going to be offered opportunities, but also pace yourself. Don't overdo it. Try and keep grounded as you have Jupiter in your sign. There's a lot more to talk about. There's all the eclipses, etc., but I will leave that to my colleagues as it is.
Thank you for listening to the Mainly Moonology podcast. If you want to take moonology to the next level and manifest the life of your dreams, join our growing community of magical people who come together to lift each other up as we meditate, manifest, and reclaim the magic that has been inside us all along. Head over to mainlymoonologymembership.com and awaken your true powers.